The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Cavanaugh. You know, last night as I was working on this message, I entitled it, How to Have a Failing Message or a Failing Marriage. And then I got to think about that right before I walked up here. I thought, you know, if I do that, and some of you go out and say, oh, okay, now I know. I know how I get out of this marriage, and I'm going to cause it to fail. I thought, you know, I don't think I want the responsibility of that. So just about 3 minutes ago before walking up, I changed the title and just scratched out the word failing, and we're going to take it in reverse on how to have a happy marriage, I'd rather you leave here today and just say, boy, I tell you what, I'm going to work on having a happy marriage than say, okay, you know what I did today? When I went to church, I learned how to fail in my marriage, and I was just so excited. You need to come to my church, and that way you learn how to fail. And so I don't want to do that. Take your Bible and go back. You're probably already there because I do reread the scriptures often as we talk about scriptures to be able to validate the truth in your heart and in your life. But in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, the Bible says, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Now he's getting ready to describe marriage. That's what he's getting ready to describe. And the Bible says here, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father. Now watch what it says. Leave father. It says, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. You know, I was so excited when God brought Sylvia into my life. I was just so excited about that. I was excited when God began to tenderize her heart towards me and her family began to tenderize their hearts towards me. I was just so excited, but I couldn't wait for the day. I mean, I just could not wait for the day when she would walk down that long aisle and stand here at the front of the church that we got married at, and the preacher would say, do you, and go through all that, and we would both say, I do, and then he would say, you may now kiss your bride, and then we would scoot out the door, happily married forever after. You know, I just couldn't wait for that day. I mean, I was just so excited. You know, matter of fact, I've never quite understood. Here in America, we have a tradition that when a husband and wife get married, that the bride, she walks down the aisle and she walks so slow. You ever notice that? I mean, it's got to drive the guy nuts, you know? I mean, he's in the front, but I was so nervous that day. I was just so nervous. I was nervous, you know? I mean, I've never been married before, and I was just so afraid, and I didn't have much of a big part. You say, I do, and that's about it, and then you kiss the bride, and then you guys scurry down the aisle, and so you don't have a really big part, but man, I was just so nervous, you know, because we never kissed before marriage, and I know that's a weird thing in today's society, but I wanted to honor her parents, and I wanted her to be having that very first kiss at the altar, and so I'd never kissed her before, and so she walked down, I was so scared, that I was going to mess up, and I did mess up, and as she got to the front, my heart's going pitter-patter, and as she got closer to the front, it was going in overdrive, you know, pitter-patter, and it just scared me to death, you know. And then we got married, and we ran out the aisle, and just have had a happy marriage now since 1984. And what a wonderful blessing it's been to be able to come together as husband and wife, and be able to have her as my partner in life, to be able to travel down. And we've had some journeys. We've had some journeys as husband and wife, and of course, child rearing being a part of those journeys, and having children and trying to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and trying to do our best. And we've had some journeys. We've had some journeys in evangelism as we traveled for 12 years. And as we first started off our marriage being in Brooklyn, New York, and not having children as we lived in Brooklyn, you know, that was a journey coming into the ministry full time and knowing how to be able to work and things of that nature in the ministry, and then having children in the ministry and continuing to serve the Lord. And so, but with all the things that we as a husband and wife and we as a family have gone through, it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. And so I'd like to be able to speak this morning on how to have that happy marriage. I'm going to give you some basic principles this morning. I believe that you can put into the marriage, if you will, this morning, and to be able to practice that will be something that would enhance your marriage, something that would help in your marriage. And you say, but preacher, you know, I'm not married. Well, one day you may have a desire to be able to do that. And one day God might bring somebody special into your life. And you know that is the will of God. And you step out into holy matrimony. And it might be something that God could use to bless you in a wonderful way. Or it may be this. It may be that you have gone through a marriage, if you will, and it's been a disaster. And you'd say, I don't really want to enter back into that type of relationship again. But you may have children, and you could help your children to be able to understand some principles they could put into their life to be able to have a happy marriage. Or maybe you're the age of a grandparent, and you may be able to help your grandchildren later on to be able to see some things that they could put into their life of having a happy marriage. And so let's notice some things in our Bible, please. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave, there's the key, gave himself for it. And so the Bible talks about how that we ought to, in a marriage relationship, husband and wife, when we come together, it ought to be a relationship whereby you love one another. In other words, you ought to decide that you're going to give that love, you're going to give that affection, you're going to give that understanding, if you will, in that marriage relationship, where the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So we those that of us that are married couples, we ought to decide that we give ourselves for that which is our spouse. Give yourself. Now, that means sacrifice. That means doing without. That means, if you would please, trying to meet the spouse's need, okay? Trying to help, to be able to understand, to be able to give insight where needed, or to be able to understand a certain situation. You know, it is very, very important that you and I that are in marriage relationships, and by the way, this will help in any relationship, even with the children's relationship, as you learn to be able to love one another and be able to be patient with each other and help each other. You know, somebody said, I wish in the marriage relationship that my wife, I wish that she would treat me like I am the king. Well, maybe you need to start treating her like she is the queen. You know, it used to be my daughter used to say, Daddy, would you give that illustration? Would you give that illustration? Just give that illustration one more time. And her favorite illustration in coming up in evangelism, when I would illustrate that, you know, when you meet your wife and, boy, you fall in love with her and she's just everything. I mean, she is just everything. You know, you couldn't afford to buy the expensive suits. You had to go buy the suits at a Goodwill or whatever. You paid $5, $10, $15 for it, but you came to a mud hole. You thought nothing about it, you know. And so you would take off that jacket and you would throw it down in the mud hole so that she would not get one toe muddy, you know. And you do that just like that when you first get married. But then after a while, it changes, you know. And now you're able to buy the more expensive suits. And so you go out, and now you're wearing a $250 suit or so, and you come to a mud hole, and you look at the mud hole, and you look at your wife, and look at the mud hole, and look at your wife, and look at the mud hole, and look at your wife, and say, jump, baby, jump, you know. It changes. You know, when you first get married, you open the door for your wife, and you make sure all of her body parts are in, and then you shut the door. But then after you get married, you know, if you're not careful, that would change. And when you first get married, you pull out the chair for your dear wife, and you wait till she properly gets seated in the chair for the motion that's about to come, and then you push her under the chair. But you know, after you get married, if you're not careful, some of that would change. You know, when you first get married, you say, honey, where do you want to eat? You know, but now you don't ask her where you want to eat. Say, honey, I'm taking you out for a meal and let's go. And you don't even give her a choice. She said, we're going to go eat. And so you go to your favorite places. All right. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that there's a way to be able to show love in that marriage relationship. And the Bible talks here about the husbands are supposed to love the wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That means there's a sacrifice that's going to be made. That means the husband is the one that makes that sacrifice and that steps in at times when his wife needs him. But also in Titus chapter 2 and in verse 4, the Bible says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. All right, so the Bible teaches, it's not one-sided, that the husband is supposed to only love that which is the wife, but the Bible teaches that the wife also is supposed to love the husband, all right? You know, with the wives, they want the time. They want the communication. They want the understanding. With the husband, you know, he wants somebody that will be able to be there and be supportive many times in his decision. He wants the attention. He wants somebody that's gentle. He don't want to feel like he's married to a football player. You know, he wants somebody that's gentle, that's going to meet his needs in many areas of life. I'm saying this, learn to love each other. By the way, listen to me. Don't get mad at your wife. Don't get mad at your wife if she rearranged the furniture and all of a sudden you walk in and you're coming in late at night, you trip over the couch or something like that. You get mad at her. You know, she's probably thinking you needed to lay down as soon as you came in. You know, have understandings about things. Be able to understand each other. Be able to look at the value that you see in each other, okay? And give each other that space of grace that's talked about, if you would please, in the book of Ezra. Give each other that space of grace, yes, as God would give to a nation, so ought you and I to give to each other when it comes to that marriage relationship. Don't always expect each other to understand each other just because you appeared. Just because you walk in. You know, men are not all-knowing. Women are not all-knowing. And so you've got to be able to communicate things out. Well, she looks like she's mad at me. She might not be mad at you. Might have an upset stomach. There might be other pressures she's facing. Well, he looks like he's upset at me. Don't go by the facial expression. They might be going through something that you don't know. And by you communicating and showing love, what it may do is it may open up a communication whereby now they can better face the situation. I'm saying this, how is it that we can have a happy marriage? Learn to love one another. Statement number two, assume one's proper and think about this respective role. God's given you a specific role, all right? So assume the role that God has given you. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, the Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. All right? So assume the role that God himself, the creator God that created the heavens and the earth, the creator God that knows all, the creator God that has more wisdom than any man that's ever been created by God, assume the role that God has created you to be able to perform in your marriage relationship, okay? The Bible says that the man is supposed to be the head of the home, if you would please. It says the head, specifically here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, of the wife. Now the head, what does the head do? The head thinks. The head thinks. Now understand this, as God's created the man to be the head of the home, the man was created to fulfill that role whereby God gives him the ability to fulfill that role. Many times the man will think with his head and many times the wife will think with her heart. Okay? Because she was created to be able to play that role inside of the... And that's why many times you will see a wife, she will make a more an emotional decision, but an emotional decision, if you would please, from the heart. But a man will make a head decision and it doesn't have much heart in it. That's why when the husband and wife do come together as husband and wife, there's a perfectness that comes between them. They help to balance each other. They help each other. Not if you had a husband that was always making emotional decisions and you had a wife that was always making emotional decisions, can I tell you, you would have an emotional mess. But God created the man to operate by the head. God created the woman to operate by the heart. Now, can I tell you, as the man is the head of the home, he is supposed to think things through. Now, one of the things I'm supposed to do as a husband and as a dad is I'm supposed to think things through according to the scriptures as to what pleases God. That is my responsibility. My responsibility is not to go by emotions. My responsibility is not to go by that which is a feeling. My responsibility is to find what thus saith the Lord, and then I'm supposed to step therein, helping my dear wife and helping my children to operate by principle. Amen. Not by that which is some type of a personality or some type of feeling, if you will. Now, my wife helps me to have heart in that. My wife will help me to have a reasonable balance in that rather than being very hard or whatever. She would come in and she might say, well, yeah, I realize that's a Bible principle, but maybe you could help out by doing it this way so that the children might understand it better or so that somebody else might understand it better. When you have the head and you have the heart that's operating together, you cannot break such a good balance. It's a wonderful balance that God has given, all right? And so the Bible teaches here that we're supposed to love one another as husband and wives. We're supposed to assume the proper and the respectful role or the specific role that God has for us. So the husband is the head of the wife, as the Bible teaches. Then the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, wait a minute. If the husband is not submitting himself as unto the Lord, it becomes rather difficult for the wife to be able to submit herself unto the husband because he's not playing his role. If he would play his role, it becomes easier for the woman to be able to play her role. But if he is not playing his role, then he is out of place. And when he is out of place, it is hard for her to zone in. Who is she supposed to follow? All right, let me give you an example. Stand up and you're the Lord. Face that way. Hold your Bible facing the piano. Okay. You stand up, if you will. And you're right here. Let me tell you. All right. Jacqueline, come up, if you will. And you're the daughter. And is your wife in here right now? Okay. All right. That's fine. And so come up right here, if you will. And we're going to marry you off real quick to another woman here. And let's get a husband and wife. You sit down. You stay. You can be. You go away. Okay. All right. And so brother and Mrs. Bachman, could you come help me, please? And you're going to be their daughter. We just adopted you out. Okay. You got red hair from your great, great, great grandfather's side. Okay. And so they come up. So here's Dr. and Mrs. Bachman. So they come up. Now their responsibility is to follow God. That's their responsibility. Now, he is supposed to follow the Lord. The wife is supposed to follow the husband. The child is supposed to follow that which is the parent. All right. Now, by the way, when you have this, the way that God set it up, then you have harmony in the home. It's a wonderful, harmonious situation. I mean, because everybody is trying to do their role. Everybody is trying to follow the pathway that God has for them. Now, by the way, God is not going to get out of his path. God is not going to get out of his role. God is not going to say, okay, today I'm laying down the truth and today I'm stopped being God. He's not going to do that. By the way, no more should the Christian lay down Christianity and say, today I'm just going to stop being a Christian. No, no, no. Once you're saved, the Bible teaches you're always saved. All right, so you're not supposed to lay down your Christianity, nor is the man supposed to lay down his role as man, nor is the woman. I think it's ridiculous what's going out there today, and it's just so absurd, and thinking people realize it's absurd where a person chooses their own gender. That's absurd. Nowhere do you see that in the scriptures anywhere, and nowhere in any other nation do you see that except right now, crazy America. All right, but now wait a minute. And so God is the one that created you. By the way, he created you male and female. That is God's creation. You're not supposed to mess with that. Well, I can't figure out what I was born like. Well, just go to your mama, go to your doctor, and they'll help you. All right, now, by the way, listen, years ago, you wouldn't even have to say stuff like that in a church because it was accepted. But today we have such a society that, and it's all emotionally driven.
Right.
You know, well, you know, I believe I, well, you know, just because you believe you're a cow doesn't mean you're a cow. Okay, whatever. Okay, and so here's what you got. You get God leading the direction. You got man that's supposed to follow that which is God. He's the head of the home. The mother's supposed to submit to that which is the dad, the husband, if you will. And then the daughter in this case is supposed to submit to that which is the parents. Now you got harmony in the home. Wait a minute. What if all of a sudden God gets out of his place? If God gets out of his place, then it causes mama to all of a sudden wonder, well, you know, I want to do right. I think it's right. I think I'm supposed to go to church, but my head is gone, and I think this is right. I you know, my heart tells me, and a lot of times mama will operate more by heart than she will by that which is right. Come on. How many times does a child need to be disciplined, and all of a sudden daddy says, I need to discipline the child, but mom rises up and says, oh, you know, because there's heart there. There's heart there. Now, there's nothing to be ashamed of. That's the way God created you. That's the way God made you. And if we play our roles, everything works out okay. All right, let's say that daddy's right with God, daddy's going to church, but then mama steps out, and now there's not much heart left. So the child says, well, I'm going to do it because daddy says, because it's a rule, I'm going to do it, but I just don't enjoy it. You know why? Because mama putting the heart into it, the emotions, makes the trip to church enjoyable, makes the decisions that the children make enjoyable. All right, step back in. Let's say that daughter steps out of the will of God. All right, now mom and dad is burdened, but mom and dad should not break stride in serving Jesus Christ. So many people say, well, I tell you what, my daughter turned out wrong, my son turned out wrong, so I guess I'm not going to serve God anymore because after all, I lost the power in the punch. No, you still have a responsibility to serve Jesus Christ. All right? So you, by the way, they need a light to be able to come back to. They need somebody to come back to be able to say, well, wait a minute, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do because mom and daddy are still that light. Now watch, move back in. So now you've got harmony in the home. God speaks to all of his children, but as he speaks to all of his children, he also identifies the role that they're supposed to play. As he identifies the role that they're supposed to play, they step up, they play the role, harmony in the home. All right, thank you, be seated. Watch this if you will. Statement number one, I said in order to be able to have a happy marriage, learn to love one another. May I say statement number two, assume one's proper and specific role that you have to play. Statement number three, don't become bitter. Don't become bitter or unforgiving for one another. You know, a lot of times, because of a lack of communication, and we teach this, of course, as biblical counselors, with a lack of communication, can I tell you, there can be a lack of relationship.
Right.
There has to be a time when mom and dad come along, when husband and wife come along, and they spend that time being able to communicate with each other. So don't become bitter. Don't become argumentative. Don't become, if you would please, unforgiving one toward another. It was D.L. Moody that said this, dig your wells deep when you're young so that when you're old, you can draw from them. All right? We'll place that when it comes to forgiveness. Learn to dig your wells deep with forgiveness so when you have to pull some out, it's there in supply. Learn to forgive people before they need it. Learn to give it out before it's needed. The Bible says over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You know, a lot of times a husband will hold it in, doesn't say anything, just nods his head. Then after a while, it gets pressure and more pressure and more pressure. And then the cork blows.
Right. Right.
okay? No, the Bible says here, and by the way, nowhere in the Bible do you see where it says that the wife is not supposed to be bitter against the husband. So apparently the husband must have a greater problem with it, or God would not have said it. So the Bible says here, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 13, the Bible says, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. And the contentious, it says, of a wife is a continual dropping. So don't be somebody that causes a person to drain them. Now, husband or wife, by the way, you'll be a delight to each other. Don't always drain. You ever around somebody that's always talking critical? Always talking critical? Always downing this and downing that? Now, you know, just to be honest with you, most people want to run from that. They don't want to run to that. It was Abraham Lincoln was asked one day, why do you go home so late? He said, because my wife is there. Many times he would spend the night in his office. They asked him, why do you go home so late? He said, my wife is there. Because she was always critical, always critical, always critical, always critical, always critical, always critical, always critical. And by the way, that drives a person away. It does not bring a person in. Hey, here's a good practice. You ready? Look for something that your husband or wife is doing and praise them for that several times a day. Oh, it's quiet. I guess I need to preach on this more often. Praise them for something. You know, your wife dresses up for church or whatever and says, man, that's a beautiful outfit. Praise them. Yeah, all of a sudden, you know, your wife fixes a meal and just, man, that was a great meal. Oh, thank you for that. Your husband, you know, he mows the lawn. Hey, honey, that lawn out there, that just looks, man, it makes us look like we live at the Taj Mahal. I mean, just, man, this is just so nice. You did such a great job. They paint the room, husband or wife, they paint the room. They leave one little spot that they miss, one little spot. The rest of the room looks good. Now, if you're not careful, here's what you're going to do. You're going to walk in and say, well, it looks all right, but you missed the spot. Instead of being the negative one, why don't you walk in and say, hey, man, this looks great. Man, you did a super job. Wait till they go to bed, get your paintbrush, hit the spot. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. I'm saying be very careful. Don't become somebody that's bitter. Don't become argumentative all the time in your relationship. Don't become somebody that's unforgiving. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 9, the Bible says, thou shalt, listen to it now. It says, then it says, shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment. And it talks about this, and it says, yea, every good path. Now, why do they understand the good path? I'm going to tell you why. Simply because of the fact they've studied it. They've studied it. Okay, you come home, you got an open spirit, your wife has a closed spirit. Instead of trying to make her open her spirit, why don't you say some things to try to melt that ice so that her spirit begins to open up? You come home and you got a closed spirit, she's got a closed spirit. Can I tell you what's going to happen? Battlefield. Battlefield. Same way it is with your kids. You know, you try and talk to your kids, you've got an open spirit, they've got a closed spirit, they're not listening to you, you can say anything you want to, and that spirit is going to still stay closed. What do you got to do? You got to figure out a way to be able to help them to develop something in their life that will help them to understand that they don't need to be that person that has bitterness. They don't need to be that person that has unforgiveness. Statement number next, I'm almost done. I said that love one another. Work on it. Talk about having a happy marriage. Assume one's proper and specific role, the role that God has given you. I said don't become bitter, argumentative, or somebody that's unforgiving. Statement number next, develop and maintain togetherness. Togetherness. Learn to do things together. You know, come on now. You know, when you got married, your philosophy was, man, I love her so much I could eat her up. Now that you've been married for a while, you say, I wish I would have. Now, I'm saying this, work on togetherness. Do some things together. Go grocery shopping together. You say, as a man, that's not my gig. That's not what I like to do. Okay? All right? Then go to the park together. Go throw a frisbee together. It's the only thing Brother Westo got out of the entire message was right there. He said, okay, I can do that. Okay, I can do that. And go push her on the swing. Go have a picnic together. You know, find out what she likes to do. And go do it. Both my wife and I, we love going shopping and looking at antiques and going into marketplaces and stuff like that. We enjoy that. And that's something we do together. Together. You know, go bike riding together. Go climb a mountain together. What I'm saying is this. Find some things that you can do together. You know, go out back and throw the football. Hello? Tackle her different than you would a man. I'm saying this. I'm saying find some. Hey, here's a noble idea. Go to church together. That's a noble idea. Sit together in church. You say, well, she's got visitors and I've got visitors. Great. Let your visitors sit outside of you. You sit together in church. Amen. I'm saying this. Learn to do some things that brings togetherness. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 7, the Bible says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the weaker vessel. It says, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. All right, so learn to do some things together. The last statement, I'm done. I said statement number one, love one another. Statement number two, assume one another's proper and specific role. Statement number three, don't become argumentative. Don't become bitter, argumentative, or unforgiving. Statement number four, develop and maintain togetherness. Statement number five, and I'm done, don't break your marriage vows. Don't break your marriage vows. You know, when the preacher gets up and he says, till death do us part. You know, just decide you're going to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and stay married until the day you die. You say, well, she's changing. So are you. So are you. We're all going to go through the changes. Well, she's getting older. Huh. You think you're staying young? What are you talking about? You know, I'm saying this. I'm saying don't break your marriage vows. And by the way, that's why it's so important for young people to date right. Because if you don't date right, you're not going to marry right. We teach our young people, hey, now don't get me wrong when I say this, but he is supposed to be the head. The male is supposed to be the head. He's supposed to be the head of the home. That means that he ought to have more of a knowledge of what God wants than perhaps the wife does, because he's the head, he's supposed to lead. She is supposed to submit. She is supposed to be that supportive one. The word submit means to come under and lift up. All right, now wait a minute. So you don't want to marry somebody that's less spiritual than you. Because you'll be the one saying, honey, come on, let's go to church. And he'll be the one saying, well, you know, I really don't want to today. Then you go back to the scenario here where somebody steps out, and when they step out, you know, without the head, the children, you all get messed up. That's why I still believe that men ought to rise up and take the role play that you ought to have in your life. Why is it when we give an invitation, especially at night, if you come here on Sunday night and we have about 70 workers that's working in about 8 or 9 other services right now, and these are really dedicated people, and so watch this. When we give an invitation at night, man, these aisles are flooded with people up here praying and just asking God to work in their life. But now, wait a minute. Why is it that in many places you see the women being more spiritual than the men? Why doesn't the men rise up? When I give an invitation in Southeast Asia, and sometimes when I preach conferences around America, when I give an invitation, I say, okay, men are supposed to lead, so we're going to give an invitation for the men to come first. So why do you do that? Puts them on the spot. They're supposed to be leading. And by the way, don't get mad at me, but I'm just speaking the truth to you. It puts the lady or the wife or the mother in a very precarious situation when the man doesn't do what he's supposed to do. You ever counsel a couple and you go into a room and she does all the talking and he just kind of sits there? You can tell who's in control of the home. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, there needs to be that which is the vow to marriage. Now, what do? You work on your marriage. You work on your marriage. You continually work on that marriage and let God be the one that will help you in that marriage. But just decide that if you're going to stay married till you die, make the best of it. Make the best of it. You know why? And if you don't like her before you got married, why are you marrying her? Because she's different. But you say opposites attract. Yes, they do. And then they attack. They attract for a while. Come on. You know, you get married, you have nothing in common. Nothing in common. Nothing in common. You like to ride bikes, you don't like to ride bikes. You like to read, she doesn't like to read. You like to take trips, she don't want to go nowhere. You like to eat out, she likes eating at home. I mean, it's just, you want to go out to eat? No. You want to ride bikes? No. What are you going to do? Okay, I'm going to ride the bike and think about you. You got to have things that you like. If you have nothing in common before you get married, can I tell you that it's probably not going to change after you get married. That's like a guy saying this, a girl saying this, well, I'm going to marry him. I know he's a drunk. But I'm going to marry him because after we get married, he'll sober up. He probably will for the day of the wedding. Until the reception comes. You don't marry somebody in hopes that you can change them. Hopefully you marry them because you love them for who they are. But be careful that you, as young people, be careful that you don't marry somebody and hope that, well, I'm going to marry him. And once I marry him, he'll get character and he'll get a job. He's never had one for 42 years, but I know because he loves me. When we get married, he's going to get a job. Oh, probably not. If he wasn't that way, you see what I'm saying? And can I tell you, I love you, but can I help you out just a little bit? It's a big world out there. Don't think, and you kids that are academy kids that's here, don't think, well, I need to marry somebody in the academy because after all, that's who I know. You'll get to know other people by and by. Man, don't try and push that bicycle that has two flat tires down the road. It's not going to get very far. God's going to bring somebody special in your life. God can do that. And they don't necessarily have to be in this church. God knows where you are. You should be planning to be all that God wants you to be right now because you know that one day God's going to bring somebody special in your life and you don't know who they'll be. So you plan to be all that you should be for God. Now, by the way, that means surrender. That means you surrender whatever God wants you to do, wherever God wants you to serve. I'm saying that when you get married, one of the biggest requests I have when I marry people, and I guess I've married about 20 couples since I've been pastor here. I became pastor in 2010, about 20 couples or so that I've married since then. And can I tell you, here's their biggest thing. They said, preacher, whatever you do, make it short. Make it short. I say, why? Because we want to get married and get out of here. And they always make it short, you know? All right, now wait a minute, watch this. You know, because they're excited about the fact that, man, it's here. It's finally here. Now, by the way, every parent wants you to marry. Can I help you out a little bit? They just want you to marry the right one. That's all. You know, they're saying, hey, yeah, come on, hurry up. Our daughter's 21. She's a cosmetologist, and she's 21 years of age. I'll hold her picture up in conferences. I say, look, if you're interested, here she is. For $5, I'll let you come look closer. For $25, if you qualify, I'll marry you over the phone. Yeah. I say, why are you doing that? Just for fun. But you'd be surprised how many people come up and say, here's my five. Man, I've gotten coffee. I've gotten donuts. I've gotten pizza. I mean, I'm praying my daughter never gets married. I'm making money. Now, I'm saying this, though. You know, we want you to have a happy home. We do. Now, by the way, don't cut the Lord Jesus Christ out of this. You know, part of having a happy home is you come to church, let the preacher show you Bible principles. By the way, what I showed you this morning was Bible principles. You wouldn't have got that by staying at home. You wouldn't have got that by just reading a book somewhere. You know, and so decide, hey, look, man, you be somebody that qualifies for a godly marriage. You come to church, and when you come to church, just don't dive out saying, now I got him. Don't do that. Okay, but you be faithful to the house of God, and you continue to grow, continue to grow. By the way, can I help you a little bit? If I was not pastor of Parkside Baptist Church, I promise you, I'd be faithful to the house of God. Because you see, it was at the house of God that somebody was stirred that was called a soul winner because of preaching, and he went out to where I was, and he gave me the gospel because a pastor was a soul winning pastor that pushed soul winning. And so he brought the gospel to me. And I got saved because of a Baptist church. So because of that, not that only, but because of that, yeah, I am faithful to the house of God. I'd be that way as a businessman. I'd be that way, if you would please, as somebody that was out there in a different vocation. I mean, I would be that way simply because of the fact I know what God has done for me through the preaching of God's word. Hey, it was in church I met my wife. Mm-hmm. It was in church that God got a hold of our hearts, and we stepped out by faith to have children, though my dear wife at that time was having some health problems. But we stepped out believing God, and God is, I mean, she's still just as healthy today as she's ever been, and try to get me in good health as well. And so that way we can live to be 140 and lose all of our teeth and gum each other to death, you know. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that there's that relationship. So don't cut Christ out of it. Don't cut God out of it. And you let God help you in that relationship. How to have a happy marriage. Now, I could give you 140 other things. These are just major, major hits, and you know that. Okay? But there's so many things that you could work on to be able to have that happy marriage. Amen. And encourage each other. Help each other. And say good things to encourage each other. And God will bless. Father, bless, we do.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.